From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're in it with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. On the phone, I have the fourth candidate for the 4th City Council District to call into The Hot Seat, Teddy Davis. How are you, Mr. Davis? Thank you very much for taking the time to call into The Hot Seat.
Good morning, Max. Thanks for having me on.
It is my pleasure. I would like to remind everyone that I'm following my election protocol, which means the interviews for the candidates for a particular office will not be posted until all of the candidates for that office who have agreed to be on the program have actually been interviewed, and that I will be asking the candidates the same questions, but I'll be asking follow-up questions when I believe they need to be asked. Now, I have lots of questions and not a lot of time, so without further ado, let's get started. Why did you decide to run for city council?
Max, I decided to run for city council because, number one, I was born and raised in this community. I grew up in Los Feliz, went to school out in Sherman Oaks, so I've got roots that go from one end of this district to the other. And I know that this council office has a big impact on these neighborhoods. And what I know from talking to my neighbors, and I've made a real point of going door to door in this district, is that they've seen a real breakdown in basic city services. The streets, the sidewalks, the tree trimming, all of those have been cut back pretty dramatically. We are also facing big questions about overdevelopment, about a DWP that answers to no one, about McMansions that are overrunning our neighborhoods. These are concerns that come up over and over again when I'm out there speaking with my neighbors. And I wanted to bring some fresh energy, some strong fiscal management, and a willingness to level with people about what it'll take to actually solve these problems.
And what is your present occupation, and why do you believe you are qualified to be a city council member?
Sure. I'm an attorney by background. I now give my time as an Unruh Fellow at USC to do some panel discussions for students on different public policy topics, and I put an enormous amount of time into the campaign itself. I've been going at it now for about a year and a half since I opened up the campaign account, and I've been knocking on doors for 11 months, and we've got 1 month to go until the election. And the reason I feel like I'm qualified to be on the city council is that I have a background in government where I've seen it up close. I've seen it at the local, state, and I've seen it up close at the federal level. I used to work for L.A. Mayor Buragosa. I worked for California Governor Gray Davis. And for 7 years, I covered presidential campaigns for ABC News, giving me a perspective on the national scene as well. So that combination of experience, seeing government up close, how it works, and then knowing this community intimately, having been born and raised here, and then taking the time during the campaign of going out for 11 months, knocking on doors and talking with residents, and it gives me the background to know what people are up against, what issues need to be addressed, and how to solve them.
Working for a politician or a candidate, though, is very different than being the candidate or politician himself.
That's right, Max. It is different. And the main thing is you have to get used to at the very beginning of doing the fundraising. You know, that's the main thing that you have to do once you become the candidate rather than just working as an advisor to a politician. And made a real point of that early on. You got to get on the phone and you got to call everyone you've ever met and you got to ask them to invest in a new kind of politics. And we've done that. And one thing I'm really proud of is that I qualified for 2-for-1 public matching funds ahead of 12 other candidates. And we did it based on the strength of our grassroots support in the district. There's a new rule in L.A. this year.
You're sharing off the topic, Mr. Davis. I apologize, but I have to keep you on topic. One other question that I do have is, are you running for this because you genuinely want to make a difference, or you believe it's the logical next step in your career?
I want to make a difference.
Okay. And moving on now.
Let me finish that point I was making there, because it's an important one for your listeners, about the public matching fund. For the first time, L.A. City has a new rule. You need 200 donors in the district to qualify for matching funds. We did it ahead of 12 other candidates, and I'm very proud of that because it's a sign of our strength in the district.
That is true, but it may be true, excuse me, but it does not relate to the question I asked. Moving on now, the 4th Council District is very diverse. If elected, how will you get to know each portion of the district and what is important to that specific region?
So, you know, I've got these lifelong roots in the district itself. I don't pretend to know all of Los Angeles, but I do know the 4th District. Born and raised in Los Feliz. I went to school as far back as nursery school out in Sherman Oaks. I've got family in Toluca Lake. I got my braces put on down on Larchmont. I used to ride a little school bus through the Hollywood Hills. I know these different neighborhoods going back many years. during the campaign itself for 11 months, I've knocked on doors throughout the district, and I've had a chance to talk with residents and ask them what are their top concerns and what do they want their local government to address.
Okay, and do you feel that you missed anything or missed anything significant that affects you as a candidate hurts you as a candidate, if you want to think of it that way, when you were in out of the state for working for ABC?
Yeah, that was a very valuable experience. It was a tremendous job. I served as deputy director of political coverage for ABC News. I was based for them in Washington and New York, and had a chance to cover the Bush re-election in 2004, Democratic takeover of Congress in 2006, Obama election in 2008, the fight over health care reform that followed after Obama's election, and also had a chance to go around the country and interview politicians, including in California. I'd visit family in California and had interviewed a lot of elected officials here. And it gave me a perspective of politics on a broad scale, and I find it very useful background in this campaign.
But in terms of missing anything that happened in the district, you don't feel that hurts you? Or you you missed anything?
In terms of stuff that had happened here?
Yes.
I don't, Max, because the thing is, even though I've lived in different parts of the country, this has always been home. My family always remained here. So I always continued to come back specifically to the 4th District to see my family, which continued to reside in Los Feliz. And I kept up very close tabs on what was happening here.
Okay. And speaking of different portions of the district, what will you do to satisfy all geographic regions of the district?
Well, here's what's interesting. I found, even though it's a sprawling district, I found that there's a great commonality in the concerns that come up. And people, wherever I go, they talk to me about broken streets and sidewalks, dangerously untrimmed trees, like mansions overrunning neighborhoods, a DWP that answers to no one. If you're in Toluca Lake or Hancock Park, Los Feliz, Sherman Oaks, even though those neighborhoods are spread out, those topics come up over and over again, which I think creates a clear mandate for action on them.
But you and I both know, Mr. Davis, that Hancock Park is fundamentally different from Sherman Oaks or Toluca Lake, which leads me into my next question. What are you going to do if Sherman Oaks wants something, but Hancock Park or Toluca Lake or another portion of the district doesn't want something?
I believe, Max, and I really mean this, based on the experience of talking to thousands of residents, there's a commonality and interest of what people want, generally. Now, within each neighborhood, people have specific priorities, and I think that you can then move on those priorities. So, for example, in Los Feliz, they've seen a specific uptick in the homeless population, or there's special traffic congestion on Los Feliz Boulevard, and you've got to address that in a specific way. Or in Hancock Park, they've got... they've had trouble with their concrete streets and no street repair that have come to them. You've got to address that. People have specific issues like that, and you need to address them. But they're not. But just because you're going to take action on homelessness in Los Feliz doesn't mean you're not able to then take action on the concrete streets in Hancock Park.
Well, let me ask you a question. If there's a traffic mitigation technique that Hancock Park wants, but somehow has a negative effect on Sherman Oaks, what are you going to do in that situation or in any similar situation where you have to decide between helping one portion of the district or helping another portion when it comes to a mass city matter?
Tell me that example again, Max. I didn't hear it exactly.
If there's a traffic mitigation technique that's beneficial for Hancock Park but somehow has a negative effect on, say on Sherman Oaks, what are you going to do in terms of or how are you going to decide what to vote for? And what are you going to do in similar situations when you have to decide between helping one portion of the district or helping another?
You always have to look to the greatest good.
Okay. And with that, we will be right back after this short break with Teddy Davis, candidate for 4th City Council District.
Thank you.
And we are back now with Teddy Davis, the fourth candidate to call into the hot seat, running for Council District 4. So, Mr. Davis, Mayor Garcetti recently announced his Resilience by Design plan that would, in part, mandate the retrofitting of some older buildings. The City Council recently passed this motion, and according to Luis Reyes, Gil Cedillo's press secretary, they expect to have the language of the ordinance in February. However, there are already questions about funding the improvements. Given that there are a lot of older apartment buildings in the Los Feliz area, what are you going to do to make Mayor Garcetti's plan financially feasible for building owners?
You've got to do two things, Max. You've got to share the burden and spread the cost. So the burden should not fall just on the tenants. It's got to be shared between the tenants and the building owners. We all have a stake in making these buildings safer. So number one is you've got to have a mechanism that really allows you to share the burden. It can't just all go on the tenants. And then the second thing is to spread the cost. I do take seriously business concerns that that this is a very heavy burden that they're going to have to face. You need financing mechanisms. You'll have to work with Sacramento on it to be able to get loans that will allow you to take care of the cost of this and spread it over a number of years. And over time, it will appreciate the value of those buildings and will be able to recoup the cost of it. But you need the mechanism to spread it over time so you don't face a big hit in any one given year. And I think overall, if we take action this way, we will look back and be proud that we made L.A. safer. There's so much that L.A. has to offer, but it is earthquake country, and they have a right to deserve. People have a right to expect that their government will always be making its buildings as safe as they possibly can be, given that this is earthquake country.
So when you say spreading the cost, is that what you mean, spreading it out over time?
Yeah. So what I mean by that are loan mechanisms that would allow you to borrow at low interest rates and be able to pay back over time the cost of these retrofits.
Now, I have to ask, because I've asked all the other candidates, because they've came up with similar intergovernmental partnerships with working with other government agencies to get funding for this. Have you done research or reached out to any other government any other governments to find out how much money is available or whether they'd be interested in partnering with the City of Los Angeles on this matter?
I mean, the states have, in news accounts, I have not spoken with state officials about it. I've spoken with local business owners about the importance of spreading the cost over time, and I've spoken with tenant advocates about the importance of sharing the burden, and if elected, would work with state officials to make sure that the mechanisms are in place to spread the cost.
Okay, and why did you speak with business owners?
Because they're an important part of our community.
But how do they have a role in sharing the cost?
By business owners, I mean building owners.
Oh, okay. And what are you going to do to make sure that renters do not have to pay a disproportionate amount of the costs?
What you need to do is you need to make sure that the cost gets spread between the building owner and the tenant. They can't just pass the entire burden onto the tenant. And so LA has a rent stabilization ordinance going back to the late 70s about how much you're allowed to increase someone's rent. And you've got to maintain that protection so that not passing the entire cost of this retrofit onto the back of the tenant.
I understand that, Mr. Davis, but how are you going to stop it?
By enforcing the rent stabilization ordinance and not allowing, because what some of the building owners will want to do is they'll want to make it more relaxed so you could pass the full cost on to the tenant. And I think by enforcing the existing rent stabilization protection, you will actually be able to ensure that the cost is spread, that the building owner will have to absorb some of the cost, and they'll only be able to pass a portion on to the tenant. And I think that sort of shared arrangement, shared responsibility is the best way forward because we all have a stake in making our building safer.
Okay. And moving on now, because we're running short on time, two related issues of citywide importance are street services and sidewalks. They are very important to the Valley, too. Some areas do not have any of the latter. If elected, what are you going to do to improve street services?
The first thing we need to do is to work on a recommendation that Ron Galfrin put forward. He did an audit of the street department. He found that when the utility and telecommunication companies cut into our streets, they owe us money that we're not collecting. It's $190 million. We need to bring that money back to our neighborhoods. That's step one. I also want to devote a portion of the council office discretionary funds to repairing sidewalks. Councilmember Bernard Parks has done that in his district. We can do it in District 4. I want an emergency tree trimming crew as well. That's another basic city service that's been cut back, and I want to bring that right onto the council staff. And then lastly, we have to take on pension reform. We have to ask our employees to contribute more to the cost of their pensions and health care so that we can afford a secure retirement and money for basic city services.
So with the money that you're getting from pensions or from asking employees to pay into their pension funds or whatever you propose to do, would that money then be put forth to pay for street renovations?
Yeah, so then that money, as you increase the employee contribution towards pensions and health care, it would reduce the burden on the city's general fund, making that money available across the board. And my priority for that money would be basic services like streets, sidewalks, and tree trimming.
Okay, and going back to Controller Galperin's report, is the city currently billing the other utilities that dig into our streets? If they are not, would you make sure that they are billed?
Yes. Oh, definitely. I would push for strong collection measures on the utility and telecommunication companies.
Thank you very much for that, Mr. Davis, and thank you very much for calling into the hot seat today. It was a pleasure. The Hot Seat After Hour starts right now. You can email the Hot Seat inbox at thehotseatwithmaxschwartz@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at MaxSchwartzTV. You can subscribe to the Hot Seat newsletter by clicking on the link on our page. Go to annenbergradio.org/podcasts and click on the link underneath the Hot Seat description and enter your email address. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me next time with 4th District candidate Mike Schaefer.